Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online, and we would love to hear from you. The lines are open, and we invite your call now to 844-322-2742. If you have a Bible question or something you'd like to discuss, give us a call now, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about the grace of God this month, and when you're talking about the gospel, it's a gospel of grace. Mm-hmm. You cannot separate the gospel from the grace of God. They're really one and the same. That is the good news that changes us, that transforms us, that makes us alive together with Christ. So this is the most important subject that any Christian could talk about, any Christian could study, any Christian could, share. The grace of God is everything as far as our lives are concerned. It's a big word, and I think it's bigger than most of us really understand and know. And we'll get a sense of that as we learn that the grace of God is attached to the person of Jesus Christ. You cannot separate the grace of God from the person and work of Jesus Christ. And we see that in one of the most important verses in the Bible when it talks about Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So John starts his gospel account in that manner. And he's saying that the Word was with God, the Word was in the beginning, pre-existed, was before anything else. And then he goes and makes the bold statement, and the Word was God. So the Word and God are one and the same. And then down in verse 14, he says this, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. So the Word became flesh, and that Word we know as Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is the Word of God. And as we understand in this passage, he is God. Jesus Christ is God. But then he goes on to say something about the very nature of Christ. He made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So what do we know about this Word that became flesh? Well, he's Jesus, he is God, and he is full of grace and truth. So if we're going to know anything about the grace of God, we have to look to the person and work of Jesus Christ. So in essence, grace is a person. It's not a thing. It's not a doctrine. It's not, one of the many on a list of statements that we believe as Christians. Mm-hmm. It really is the person and work of Jesus Christ. So when we are talking about grace, we're talking about Jesus. I know there's many out there who talk about the grace message, and we've used that. We've talked about the grace message, and that's okay. That's an okay phrase, but really it's a Jesus message. Jesus is the one that saves. So when Paul wrote, it is by grace that we are saved through faith, he's talking about Jesus. He's talking about God's work in Jesus to make us fully alive with Christ. So this month, we're going to talk about grace, but we're really going to talk about Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And as we do, we're going to see that this word grace is really big, much bigger than we ever dreamed imaginable.
So it's going to be a graceful month.
Yes, it is.
Yes. And that we won't even scratch the surface.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. 844-322-2742. We would love for you to come in and scratch the surface. Again, plenty of open lines, plenty of time. 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to Fairfax, Virginia, and talk with Chris. Hi, Chris.
Hi, guys. My question today is about 1 Timothy 1:13. And you guys were talking about 1 Timothy chapter 1 on the Friday teaching edition. And the part that I want to focus on is where Paul says, God showed him mercy because he acted in ignorance and unbelief. And I suspect that he's contrasting someone who persecutes the church in full knowledge of who Jesus is versus someone like him who just didn't know any better. But what someone could think is, well, when I sin, I know the truth, I know who Jesus is, and I still sin anyway. Well, Paul, he wasn't a Christian, he didn't know any better. So when I sin as a Christian, it must mean that God's mercy is running out on me with every new sin I commit. Could you provide good news for people who have that mentality and elaborate on why you think Paul is focusing on the fact that he sinned in ignorance and unbelief?
Well, unbelief is really the state that we're all in before we come to know Christ. We're unbelievers. So that's why God sent the Holy Spirit out into the world to convict the world wrong about sin, righteousness, and judgment about sin, because the world does not believe in Jesus. Certainly, Paul fit that category. He did not believe in Jesus. He didn't really know anything about Jesus other than he was a troublemaker. At least that's what Paul thought about Jesus in his mind. So Jesus was his troublemaker. He was upsetting the Jewish way of life. And if he was to continue, then all of the Jewish people would leave their roots in Judaism and follow after this Johnny-come-lately. And so Paul wanted nothing to do with that. He wanted to stop that in its tracks. So that's why he did what he did. So he acted in unbelief. He acted according to his nature as a lost person, an unbeliever. So I think that's how we explain that. But he acted in ignorance. He was ignorant of the real plan of God. So he thought Judaism was the plan of God and that Israel, the nation of Israel, would be the blessing to the world. So he was ignorant of the plan of God in Jesus Christ. And so out of that ignorance, he continued to defend what he thought of as the plan of God, what he thought was the plan of God, and that was Israel, basically. So that was his ignorance, and that was his unbelief, and that's how he acted. And so to that, God extended mercy. And so out of that ignorance, out of that unbelief, he committed some of the most heinous sins that God would count, and that is blasphemy and persecution and those sort of things. So I think the ignorance is simply he was ignorant of the plan of God, the real plan of God. He shouldn't have been ignorant of the real plan of God. He should have known it better than anybody, because he was steeped in the Old Testament. He knew the Old Testament, but his eyes were blind. His eyes were closed. He could not see the real plan of God. So he was ignorant of that, and his heart was an unbelieving heart. So that's how we all live as lost people. We're ignorant of the plan of God. We're living in unbelief. That is our sin, and that manifests itself in sins of many kind, but our sin is unbelief. God reaches down to us in mercy and changes all that. He gives us truth, so our ignorance is wiped away. We see the plan of God. If we reject the plan of God at that point, we're not doing so ignorantly. We're doing so willfully. And in that willful rejection, there's a hardening of the heart that takes place. Okay? Does that make sense?
Yeah. So my follow-up question would be, do you think, I've heard on this show before, that at the root of all sin, there's unbelief. But it sounds like what you're saying is that this phrase that Paul uses when he says ignorance and unbelief, or ignorantly in unbelief, that wouldn't apply to a Christian. What are your thoughts? Can a Christian ever sin ignorantly and in unbelief?
Well, you're not ignorant of the plan of God. I mean, a believer is not ignorant of the plan of God. We know the plan of God, and we've accepted the plan of God. When we commit sins, we're not doing it out of a heart of unbelief anymore. We are just being sidetracked by the desires of the flesh or the temptations of the world. We give into those things, and we know exactly when we do it. We know that we've done it, and we don't have to be convicted that we've moved off the path of righteousness. We don't have to be convicted of that. Sometimes we need the Holy Spirit. Oftentimes, every time, we need the Holy Spirit to remind us that we really belong to Christ, that we have been shown mercy and grace. that we are children of God, that we are saints by calling, that that sin is forgiven, that we are righteous in the sight of God. That's what the Holy Spirit does, and he simply brings us back where we need to be. So we don't have to worry about those things. Ignorance and unbelief is really, I think, a phrase that Paul is using to describe himself as a lost person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's not describing something that happened accidentally. All of this was willful. All of us are willful. We're born that way. We're ignorant and we're unbelievers. We're dead spiritually. And it takes the grace of God to reach down to us to even get our attention in the first place. And that's what he'd said earlier. I mean, he considered me trustworthy. He's given me strength. That was all God's doing in Jesus Christ for Paul. And so his ignorance and his unbelief, which led to the blasphemy and all of that, was replaced with the grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly. And, That's what we have to pay attention to, because like John tells us in his letter, when we have come to Christ, at a fundamental level, we have ceased to sin. What sin are we talking about? It's that sin of unbelief. I now belong to Christ. He lives inside of me. I can no longer walk around in unbelief because
he's
taken care of
it. We'll never be an unbeliever again.
I'll never be an unbeliever again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it sounds like he's talking about like coming up to his point of making that decision. And it's like, is he going to make that decision to put his faith in Jesus, or is he going to continue acting ignorantly, but is he going to do it defiantly and reject Jesus outright, which in that case there wouldn't be mercy being shown. So I think I get it. Is there anything else?
Well,
that,
remember, Paul on the way to Damascus was not ignorant or unbelieving. He thought he was absolutely in the right and that he knew exactly what needed to be done. He met Jesus. That's when he realized how ignorant and unbelieving he was. He met mm-hmm. Jesus. So it's not like he, you know, going down the road after that, finds somebody and kicks them to the curb and goes, oh, that was accidental. No, every sin we've ever committed is willful, and it takes the grace of God to change our minds about that and to get us refocused on Jesus instead of on ourselves.
Yep. All right, guys.
Hey, thanks as always, Chris.
As always, for your time.
Thanks,
appreciate
Chris.
It.
Yeah. Take care, my friend.
Time on the clock. Plenty of open lines, 844-322-2742. And before we go to our next question, guys, I have a question for our listeners. How often do you visit YouTube? It's quickly become, of course, the one-stop shop to learn how to do just about anything, and we think it's a wonderful way to share the gospel, too. We're producing short, powerful videos to encourage you in your Christian walk, and they're a great way to share the truth with your friends as well. All you need to do is subscribe to the Basic Gospel YouTube channel, and you'll find it at youtube.com/basicgospel. Again, youtube.com/basicgospel. Guys, a question from Selena. You know, the month of October always brings that question. This one: is it biblically a sin to celebrate and partake in Halloween?
Well, we don't see anything about Halloween in the Word of God. As a matter of fact, Halloween was kind of a Catholic day, wasn't it? It was a celebration of All Saints or something
All
like
Hallows
that.
Eve before All Saints
right,
Day
right,
or something.
Something like that. So, and then we've just taken it and made it what it is today.
Yeah.
So, you know, kids are going to celebrate. I celebrated Halloween as a kid, loved to dress up, loved to go door to door and get a bag full of candy. And I think that's what most people think of Halloween, that it's just going door to door and getting candy. There are some believers that would see that there's more to it, that it's in some ways a worshiping of Satan or a giving Satan his due, his honor, and so they're going to choose not to do that, and that's perfectly fine. If others see it as not that, know that Satan has been defeated, and they're just going out, they're sending their kids out to you know, go to doors and have fun and collect candy and that sort of thing, that's okay. So I think it's something that we can decide upon individually, can't we?
Yeah,
we can allow the Spirit of God to direct how we're going to do that. You know, for us, we kind of turn our lights off and shut our doors and just do our own thing. So
yeah, I love Halloween because I love when the little kids come to the door.
Yeah.
They're so cute. How can I not give them candy and wish them well and wave to their folks?
Right, right. You know? Well, here's another thing. You know, people are going to come to your door. Mm-hmm. And kids are going to knock on the door, and their parents are going to be out there. Why not use that as an opportunity
Absolutely.
To share the good news? We used to print a little tract that we could give out to people mm-hmm. at Halloween. And, you know, there were years we gave out thousands upon thousands yeah. upon thousands. And we started hearing back from parents, hey, my kid got a copy of this tract, and we read it together, and I came to know Jesus.
That's right.
And so Halloween, that, you know, Satan thinks he has his signature all over that, and
yeah.
he's trying to capture the hearts of people, and God just uses it for his glory.
Mm-hmm.
And we can do that. We can say, here, people are coming to my door. I'm going to use it as an opportunity to share the good news about Jesus Christ. But I don't think we need to get all up in arms and,
yeah.
You know, separate from our brothers and sisters in Christ because they have a different opinion about Halloween than you do. Let's remember that we are bound together, not for what by what we're against, but by who has bound us together by his love and grace, and that is Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And if we're seeing something in a way that is not biblical or does not bring forth the glory of Christ, then he'll make that known, and we can trust him to work in each other's lives. So mm-hmm. let's do that, especially on this particular issue.
Yeah. Well, again, time on the clock, and we'd love to hear from you, 844-322-2742. A question from Robin in Temecula, California. Where do Christians go when they die? What are they doing while waiting for the second coming?
Well, in 2 Corinthians 5, it says simply this, absent from the body, present with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So that was Paul's desire, that he desired to be away from the body and present with the Lord. But he, as long as he was here in the body, then he was away from the Lord, although the Lord lived in him.
Yes.
And he knew Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the same that we experience here and now, Christ in us, our hope of glory. But when we're absent from this body, we go to be with the Lord. So we're absent from the body and present with him. And so I think that's where believers are. They're with the Lord. Just as Jesus said to the thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. So I think anyone who dies and leaves this body goes immediately to be with Christ. One day we're going to return with Christ. There's going to be a resurrection. We're going to get new bodies, and everything will be finished, completed, as the Bible tells us.
Mm-hmm.
But until that day, when we die, we simply leave this body and go and be with Jesus.
Yeah. Robin, appreciate your question very, very much. You know, for many people, YouTube is the go-to resource to learn how to do or fix just about anything. Well, why not use YouTube as a go-to resource for learning to walk by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, we're producing a powerful series of videos to help you do just exactly that, and you can partake of them, you can access them, when you subscribe to the Basic Gospel channel at youtube.com/basicgospel. Again, that's youtube.com/basicgospel.
Well, we have a call from Mary Jo, and we're going to quickly go to that, but she has asked this question a couple of times. Mary Jo, you're on the air, and I know you have a question today about life not being fair, but God being just. How do we explain that? Is that right?
Right.
Okay. Well, you know, life isn't fair.
It isn't.
We see that all the time. You know, some people are at the right place at the right time, and they get all these rewards of life. others who are more skilled, more talented, you know, they're not at the right place at the right time, and they don't get the same rewards. So life isn't fair. Some of us have less skills than others. Some of us have less talents than others. You look at that, that's not fair either, is it? But here's what we do know, that God has ordered our lives in such a way. He's put us in the time and place that we are, the parents that we have, for one reason and for one reason only, so that we would seek and find Him. So whatever circumstances we needed, God put us in those circumstances so that we could find Him and experience life everlasting. Now, that is, I think, the most comforting news that there is, Mary Jo. So the fact that you live in Louisville, Kentucky, and the fact that you had the parents that you have, and all of that, God was using that so that you would seek and find Him. And guess what, Mary Jo? You have found God through the person and work of Jesus Christ, and you have been given eternal life. You didn't work for it. You didn't earn it. There was nothing that you could bring to the table and say, Lord, you know, here I give you this, and in exchange you need to give me eternal life. That's not how it works. God simply reached down to you, Mary Jo, through your circumstances, through the life that He put you in, and He saved you by the person and work of Jesus Christ. Now, He could have acted differently, but He didn't. He took away your sins. He punished those sins in Jesus so that you could have life everlasting. That's not fair either. But that's what we call grace and mercy. And I would rather receive grace and mercy any day of the week than experience fairness in the world.
You bet. Absolutely.
Does that make sense, Mary Jo?
Yeah, I'll have to order the CD and listen to it several times. My mind, I learn by repetition.
Well, we all do. And we'll just send that to you, okay?
Oh, thanks. I appreciate it. You have a blessed day.
We sure will, Mary Jo. Thanks for your call. We sure appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, indeed. So we're going to put you on hold, and then we will send you that today's broadcast. Mm-hmm. But that's an interesting question, isn't it?
Yeah.
We always want fairness in this life. Well, we're not going to get it.
No.
It's never going to happen. We're not going to see justice evenly distributed. Why? Because this world is under the control of evil, dark forces, and sin is in charge, large and in charge,
yes,
in this world. So even in the places where you would think would be the least corruption, you're still going to find it. You're still going to find it. You're going to find that money moves the needle 99% of the time in directions that it shouldn't necessarily go. But because money is behind it, it goes there. That's just the way it is. Is that fair? Absolutely not. But in this world, we get something better than fair. We get Jesus. We get His grace. We get His mercy. We get His forgiveness. We get His love. We get Him.
Yep.
And I think that's the greatest thing ever, to have Jesus as your very life. And that comes as a result of the grace of God.
Absolutely. Good stuff, guys. Thank you. Well, you know, YouTube has become the place where you can drop the video of your vacation or your dog and cat running in the background or whatever it happens to be. It's quickly become the one-stop shop, of course, for learning how to do just about anything. And we think it's a great way also to share the gospel of the great God, our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, too. We're producing short, powerful videos to encourage you in your walk with Jesus, and they're a great way to share with your friends and your loved ones as well. So you can subscribe to the Basic Gospel YouTube channel when you visit youtube.com/basicgospel. Again, youtube.com/basicgospel. Well, thanks for being with us for Basic Gospel today, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.